Welcome to City Harvest Sermon Podcast. Coming up is a word from Pastor Kong Hee.
Next week is our first ever family conference. To understand what a family should look like, God gives us a model in Himself. From the very first page of the Bible, we see God saying, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule the whole earth." So from the get-go, from the first page of Genesis chapter 1, God reveals Himself as a holy trinity, one God composed of three distinct persons. God the Father is the creator, the Lord of life. God the Son is the redeemer, right? The savior of life. God the Holy Spirit is the renewer, the giver of life. So He is a God who exists in relationship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who does every single thing as a holy family. God is the divine parent of the children of Israel. Jesus Christ is the husband of the church, His bride, His wife. And the Holy Spirit empowers us believers to be brothers and sisters in the Lord. Can you see? It's family, family, family. God models for you and I what a family should look like. And we are His imago Dei, the image of God in the world. We are to redeem, to liberate, to govern all of creation in His name, doing it in family relationships. Just like God Almighty Himself. Will you turn to somebody on your left and right and say, "We are family." Yeah. Now you gotta understand this. Family is more than just blood relations. God has designed every family to have four elements, four components. At the core is covenant. Everybody say covenant. Covenant love is the starting point of every family. God said to Noah, "I will establish my covenant with you." He said to Abraham, "I will make my covenant between me and you, and you will greatly increase in numbers." Jesus says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Covenant is the basis for every relationship in the family. Now, a covenant is not a contract. A contract works on self-benefit. What's in it for me? If I do this for you, you gotta do that for me. Yeah? If you do this, I will do that. If I do this, you better do that. Otherwise, the contract is broken. And I have an exit clause, you know. I'm out of here. I quit. A covenant doesn't work this way. God shows us a covenant works on unconditional love. Even when there's no perceived benefit to the self. Even if the other person doesn't keep, they're part of the bargain. Love means unconditional commitment. This is how love works. Will God ever break His covenant with you if you don't love Him back? No. The answer is no, never. His love is never conditioned on your response. We see this in the story of Hosea, that even when Israel turns away from God, He still pursues them with a love that never gives up. A love that patiently waits for Israel to respond, to come back. In the gospel, we see the supreme expression of covenant love in the life of Jesus, right? God demonstrates His own love to us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Now, marriage is a covenant relationship, but most people treat it like a contract. What's in it for me? So we begin a marriage with the unspoken understanding. If my needs are all met, all is well. But if they are not, the relationship will end. Quid pro quo. I scratch your back if you scratch mine. But a marriage is not supposed to be like that because it is a covenant. Everybody say it loudly. Say covenant. This means even if your needs are not met, you stay committed and you trust God to take care of everything that is lacking in the marriage. You learn to turn the other cheek, to go the second mile for your spouse, for the one you have promised to love unconditionally, even when things are unfair and needs are not met. And then from the foundation of the covenant flows grace. Grace means unmerited favor. Now everyone say grace.
Grace.
It is unfair. You don't deserve it. But I will keep loving you. I will learn to be patient and kind. What's that? That's grace. Without grace, there is no possibility for joy or happiness in any relationships. So God wants every family, every home, to be filled with the atmosphere of grace, not law. You don't have to be perfect all the time. You don't have to cross every T and dot every I. If all you have in a family is law, then there's going to be a lot of fear. Everything is very strict. It's law. It's very rigid. There is no room for mistakes. You better do this and you better do that or you won't be loved. You cross me, you will suffer. You'll be punished. A home that functions on law exists in fear. Because there's no room for failure. No room for mistakes. There is no freedom. No happiness. No joy in a home like that. So an atmosphere of grace means there's always mercy. There's always forgiveness. And we can do that. We can forgive because we ourselves have been forgiven by God. We can be merciful because God is always kind and merciful to us. He helps us when we are weak, when we mess up, when we can't help ourselves. Mercy. Please turn to somebody on your left and right again and say, "Be merciful to me." Yeah. This is the reason why in the testimony that you heard last week, Sek and Shirley's marriage has lasted 25 years. In spite of the financial stress, in spite of the unmet needs, in spite of unfaithfulness, their marriage survived. And in fact, now it's even thriving because they view their marriage as a covenant. If it is a contract, when things didn't work out, they would have called it quits. But because it is a covenant, when there was failure, there was grace. There was mercy and forgiveness for every wrong. Only in this kind of atmosphere, when everything seemed hopeless and felt hopeless, the Holy Spirit can work to bring healing, to restore the love, to make the marriage even stronger. And God did that for Sek and Shirley. And that was their testimony. And God is going to do that for you. Come on, let's give the Lord a big hand. Hallelujah. Oh, you want to clap? Let's give the Lord a big clap. Amen. Now watch this. In this atmosphere of grace, family members empower one another. Empowerment means you establish power in another person. You enable them. You make them powerful. You equip them. You strengthen them. You build them up. You help them to grow and you help them to mature. And because of your constant encouraging, your constant support, they become better, stronger, wiser, happier. And this is my job. As the husband, I'm to empower son. As the father, I'm to empower Dan. It's my job. In my family, I am to make them better, stronger, greater, happier. I am to enrich their lives. The greatest thing I can ever do for son and for Dan is to encourage them and to model for them what it means to be more and more like Jesus. And it's the same for son. As my wife, she is to empower me, to make me better, stronger, more anointed, to inspire me to reach greater heights, and to help me become more Christ-like. Now, you honor those you want to influence. You always honor those you want to impact. The Bible says, husband, honor your wife. Children, honor your father and your mother. You will never build anyone up by tearing him down. So in my family, I never want to react to any situation with anger. I do not want to react to anything with resentment, with gossip. So it works for me. In my home, no anger, no resentment, no gossip. I do my best to always honor my parents, my in-laws, to honor my wife's son, to honor Dan, to honor my brother, my sisters, my cousins, my nephews, my nieces. One more time, turn to somebody in front and behind you and say, let's honor one another. Yeah. So for a relationship to be empowering, you cannot have two things. First of all, there cannot be control or force or coercion. Empowerment is not control. Look at the Holy Trinity. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they don't control each other. They never control one another. There is mutual honoring, mutual respect for one another. The Father honors the Son. The Son brings glory to the Father. The two of them honor the Holy Spirit, who desire to honor them. Each has full freedom to pursue their desires and their interests. And they constantly submit to one another. You know, a great example of this in the Bible is the parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. The father is good simply because he never controls his two sons. You realize that? When the younger one takes his money and runs away, the father doesn't stop him. He allows him to make the decision as an adult and to experience the consequences of bad decision. Even though it was a bad decision, the father doesn't control him. He waits and waits for him to come back to his senses. When he finally returns home, he welcomes him with open arms and throws a lavish party for him because the father loves him. Let me tell you, the younger son may be rebellious, but the older boy was even worse. He was very jealous. He was very angry. He had an anger issue. He wishes that his father was dead. He was very rude to him and publicly shame and dishonor him. At no time do you see an angry father, a judgmental father, a controlling father in that story. And Jesus was telling this to let us know the kind of God Father is. And to let you know, you want to be a good father, you got to be like that. The Father remains loving, gracious, empowering. And that is how parenting must look like. Love is never controlling, but it's always empowering. How do we parents influence or have influence over our kids? Some parents like to shout, like to threaten, slam the door, throw things, use concrete authority. My way or the highway. Use fear to make their children obey them. Let me tell you, this is not the Christian way. In the Bible, the word authority in Greek is exousia. Many of you heard this before. We are a Pentecostal church. We know our authority in Christ. This word authority, do you know it literally means out of being? You have authority over your kids out of being who you are as a loving parent. Out of being who you are as a caring father or mother. Not because you're physically stronger or you're older or you're more successful in life. You better listen to me. I've done more than you. No, it doesn't work this way. You have authority and influence out of being the dad, out of being the mom. When you love your kids and you responsibly care for their well-being, automatically, they will respect you. Automatically, they are willing to obey you. When our children obey out of fear, it will always backfire on us because their emotional wall will go up. Empowerment means at some point, you parents must allow your kids to learn self-control. You got to release them to learn how to control themselves. For that, mistakes will be made. But that is how your kids grow stronger and learn to be wiser. We also see this in God. He empowers us by the Holy Spirit. And He gives us room to develop the fruit of self-control. He never controls us like robots. Instead, He gives us the freedom to make our own choices, even if they are bad choices. And how many of you have made many bad choices? Don't put up your hands. Yeah. God allows us, and He let us learn from the consequences. And when we mess up and we fail, and we will, and you will, and I will, He forgives if we repent. And He let us try again. Turn to somebody on the left and right and say, don't be a controlling person. Secondly, for a relationship to be empowering, there cannot be codependency. Now, that's a big word. Codependency. This means an excessive reliance. Let me tell you, it's one thing to have needs. It's another thing to be needy. You understand? I may have needs, but I don't want to be a needy person. I don't want to be clingy. You can't empower anyone if you yourself are needy and clingy. So sure, we must meet one another's needs, but up to a reasonable degree. Because most of our needs should be met by Jesus. So as a church, we always say, find a need and meet it. Find a hurt and heal it. True. But I can only meet your needs to a reasonable degree. Beyond that, only God can meet those needs. So when couples are overly dependent, demanding that their every need must be met by the other, they can't function by themselves. Oh, if you don't meet my needs, I cannot survive. If you're not there for me, I can't go on. When you are that needy, you are not in any position to empower anyone. So you must first learn how to let God fill your emptiness and satisfy your soul. Because only God alone can make you completely whole. The healthier you are as a person, in your spirit, in your soul, in your body, the more you can bring into a relationship and add into a relationship. I mean, look, it works even in church, which is a spiritual family. If I'm not strong on the inside, how can I lift you up? This is why I always encourage the singles in our church. The more emotionally and mentally whole you are, the less problem you will bring into your future marriage. So you must learn to have as many of your needs met by God as much as possible. Find your self-worth in God. Find your value in Christ. Find your acceptance in Christ. Know who you are in the Lord Jesus as much as you can. The more you can find love in God, the more you can love other people freely. Then you can add to that relationship out of surplus, not out of deficit. Because I'm so full of the love of God, I can share that love with you. Not, I am so depleted of anything, you got to meet my needs, if not, I would die. But when there's codependency, two people cling to each other for dear life in a raging river, both would drown together. Yeah? I was a lifeguard when I was younger. And you know that when you learn in lifeguarding, when you want to rescue somebody and the person is struggling and the person and you are struggling, you both would drown. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. It's a beautiful picture of a healthy marriage. Let me read this to you. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. It says in verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe is him who is alone when he falls and he has no one to help him up. You know what this means? If I am sinking, I am faltering, and my wife's son herself is very needy and clingy and very weak, how is she going to lift me up? If son is faltering and sinking, and I'm emotionally unstable, how am I going to lift her up? I will not be strong enough to help her. I can't even help myself, let alone help her. So, without mutual empowerment, this family life is a minus instead of a plus. So the idea here in Ecclesiastes is this. Two sufficient persons, both healthy and whole in God, are better than one alone. Because they can bring their unique gifts and strengths to the other, and they can be there for each other. They will not drag the other down in an overly dependent relationship. Now let's read on. Look at verse 11. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. So a healthy marriage is when two people come together in an equal relationship. An equal relationship. One is not controlling the other. One is not overly depending on the other. And they have God at the center. It is a threefold cord. This is the kind of marriage that is healthy. That will be happy. It doesn't mean it's perfect. For there will be problems. There'll be challenges from time to time. One spouse will sink, needing the other one to lift him up or lift her up. But it is this kind of marriage, two people in an equal relationship, that will not be easily broken. Turn to your neighbors on your left and right and say, let's empower one another. Let's empower one another, right? In a family, empowerment leads to intimacy. When you look at the Trinity, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are very intimate in their loving communion. And they want the same for all their creation. So when Adam and Eve were created, before sin came in, they were very intimate with God and with one another. They were completely open and transparent. The Bible says that they were naked and not ashamed. And this is what intimacy means. Intimacy means you can relate to one another without any pretense, because there's no shame, no fear of unworthiness or rejection. And this is a major theme in the Bible. God wants to know us and be known by us, right? To know and to be known. This means He wants us to be real with no pretense, that we can be totally honest with Him, with one another, and be truly who we are, once and all. You know why? Because there's no fear in love. Because perfect love casts out fear. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. Now, when a family is built on covenant love and family members experience grace and empowerment flowing out of that love, they will express themselves freely. Intimacy will develop. Now, these four elements of the Christian family is a continual process. Intimacy will lead to deeper covenant love, which will release more and more grace, more mercy, more forgiveness, which will empower others and lead to even greater intimacy. And the cycle goes on and on, until the family relationship reaches full maturity. This is God's will for every family. This is what we're going to focus on in this CFAM conference. Covenant, grace, empowerment, intimacy. Don't forget this diagram. These are the elements of what make your family, your relationships, your marriage happy. Now, I just want to talk about one more thing. Just one more thing. The foundation of the family life is marriage. Amen? Right? How many of you are married and are happy about it? Just put up your hands. The rest of you that are married didn't put up your hands. I feel sorry for you, but anyway. One more time. How many of you are married? Just put up your hands, sir. Praise the Lord. Okay. You are here today because many years ago, your parents decided to get married. So the question here is this. Is marriage still relevant today? I'm going to deal with this. With more and more couples living together, is marriage still necessary? So before we end the service, I want to talk a little bit about this. Couples living together only became a cultural phenomenon from the mid-1960s. You know that? It was never the norm before that, both in the East and in the West. Before the 1960s, the norm was first you get married, then you stay together, then you have sex and have children. But from the mid-1960s, the concept of couples moving in together, living a trial marriage, became very popular. So popular that today, even dating Christians are doing it. Well, after all, how do you know you're really compatible? How do you know? How do you know you can satisfy each other sexually? How do you know you won't get tired of one another after a while? So couples say, just like you got to test drive a car, you got to test drive the relationship. So they move in together, sleep together, try out. And usually, only after they decided to have kids would they want to get legally married. Because there are legal benefits of getting married, like housing, applying for a flat, like getting a place in a school for your kids. So let's get married. Today, this concept of living together is so popularized in almost every book you read and every movie you watch. And we begin to think, this is the norm. We almost assume when two people fall in love, they should live together. The thing is, since the 1960s, we now have almost 60 years of studying the effect of cohabitation. We have the chance to study the effect because it only started in the mid-60s. And there were many, many studies done. One study in Europe has a large sampling of almost 42,000 couples across Europe. Another study in America, in the US, spanned 45 years from 1970 to 2015. And they have data upon data. And most of these studies, if not all, were done by non-Christians, secular experts. And do you know, practically all of them came to one conclusion. Living together without marriage weakens the love relationship. You're happy about that? Oh, come on, you want to clap? Let's give the Lord a big clap. Amen. I don't know why you're so happy about that, you know. It's not good news. All the studies show one thing. Cohabitation only helps in the first year of the marriage. You have better sex and better skills in managing conflicts. Why? Because by now, you already have some experience. But by the fifth year, those benefits disappear. And over the long term, couples who live together before marriage face a higher likelihood of divorce. In particular, men who cohabit before marriage are less likely to commit to the marriage. So after 60 years of gathering data, studies show that couples who live together have lower commitment to one another. They have less happiness in the relationship. They have a higher chance of having affairs. And if and when there is infidelity, that means affairs, they are also more likely to separate and give up, and less likely to forgive and reconcile. In fact, many secular sociologists today are telling couples not to live together because it weakens the relationship. Now, from a Christian perspective, living together is wrong. Having sex outside of marriage is wrong. The Bible calls it fornication. And any sin or violation of God's word is serious. A couple in love should come into a marriage blessed by God. And this is the missing piece in the living together arrangement. There is no covenant blessing from God for that union, to give that union the strength to endure and to last a lifetime. Because what does the vow say? It is for better or for worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. It's a permanent commitment for the lifetime. See, it is this kind of covenant love, a union blessed by God, that grace will flow, that there is mutual empowerment and deep intimacy develops. When a couple merely lives together, there's no permanent commitment. Nothing is sure yet. You're not married yet. Nothing is sure. So in their hearts, there's always some reservation. They will keep some distance to protect themselves because nothing is sure. So they can never fully open up and be vulnerable to one another. In this relationship of reluctance, there will always be an invisible wall. This is the problem of cohabitation. Two lovers living together without marriage, there is always a holding back of oneself. Why? Because there's no covenant commitment, which limits mutual empowerment, which limits intimacy. It is the forever part of a covenant love that fully opens two people up to share their lives without fear. Only within a covenant relationship can two people be completely open and fully transparent and be naked and not ashamed. So for those of you who are not yet married, but already living together, sleeping together, remember this, sex is only one part of intimacy and it's not the most important part. Deep intimacy, which is what you want, can only be built on covenant, on grace, and on empowerment. Oh, go ahead and give the Lord a big hand. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you turn to at least two people and say, please do not sleep together before marriage? But Pastor, if I can't test drive it, if I can't live together, how can I know if this person is my soulmate? How do I discern God's will in choosing who to marry? So let me end by telling you what you should do. First, you go to God directly in prayer. You study the Bible. You meditate on God's word. You ask the Holy Spirit for guidance. You let God be the center right from the beginning of the courtship. You ask yourself, while you're dating, how strong is this commitment? Is there grace here? Is there mercy and forgiveness? Is there mutual empowerment? Am I already experiencing some form of intimacy? And you pray, you bring it to God. Secondly, you seek the advice of your family, from your parents, from your mom, from your dad. They have nurtured you from young. Very few people love you the way your mom and dad loves you. They will be very honest with you because your happiness matters to them. So ask mom and dad, what do you think about this person? Thirdly, you seek wisdom from Christian leaders and trusted friends in church, especially those who have helped you, those that help you grow in the Lord over the years. They will give you perspectives that will help affirm or disaffirm your choice. Marriage is a very important sacred thing. Amen. Don't just jump into it because of sexual urges or your emotional needs. Yeah. Three sources you need to go to. Number one, you seek God. Number two, you get advice from your family. Number three, you seek the wisdom of your Christian leaders and your trusted friends. All three will serve as a check against an incorrect decision. This was how it was for me. And for son, when you make decisions without input from those three sources, there is a greater probability of making a mistake. Okay, remember this diagram, all right? Very simple. Today, I just let you have this diagram. Everybody say covenant.
Covenant.
Say grace.
Grace.
Can hear you say empowerment.
Empowerment.
Empowerment. I say employment. Empowerment. Everybody say it, intimacy.
Intimacy.
This will help you in every family relationship situation. Well, next week is our CFAM, our City Families Conference. For Thursday and Friday, there are 42 workshops. Almost 3,000 people have already signed up for them. If you have yet to sign up, please find out more about our workshops on our church website. Now, next weekend in our services, Sun and I will try to answer your questions on courtship, on marriage, on parenting, on family life. And for all the married people here, there will be a renewal of vows and a small gift prepared for every single couple. Now, before and after the service, there will be photo booths outside for you to take pictures with your husband, your wife, your children, free of charge, with free popcorns for all. So next week, bring all your family and friends to church. It's going to be a very exciting and fun weekend for everybody. Come on, let's give the Lord a big hand. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, let's all stand on our feet right now. Amen. Let's just lift our holy hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just begin to pray in tongues for a moment, shall we? Shuturia la karabahanteria la karabahada. Shuturia la karabahanteria la karabahada. Come on, let's just pray from the front to the back. I've been away for a few weeks. I want to hear you pray, guys. I miss your praying. So let's write. Let's just open our mouth and pray. Those of you online, watching at home, just open up your hearts to the Lord.
Prince of heaven, King of all, He descended from His throne into the world. This Son of God was born in my frame. He bore the cross, despised the shame, clothed in sin, His robe was stained. By His blood, oh, now I am free, now I am saved.
You so much, whether you're on site or you're online, He loves your family. He wants you to experience heaven on earth at home, in your relationships, in your marriage. Maybe today there is a lot of brokenness in the family, a lot of control, a lot of fear, a lot of anger. Maybe there's not so much joy and happiness, not a lot of love. And you need God to heal your home, to heal that family, to mend that brokenness. Maybe you're here today and you are a parent.
a mom, a dad, and your relationship with a child is estranged. Over the years, you have both drifted apart. Or maybe it is your relationship with your own father, your mother, that is estranged. Or maybe there's challenges in your marriage. Mistakes have been made. Angry words have been said. And there's very little mutual support and encouragement. In your business, you both have been drifting apart. And your heart has grown cold for each other. We sang today, Jesus paid the highest price because Jesus saves. He can rekindle that love, my friends. He can restore any relationship that has grown apart. Maybe for some of you, singles, you're already cohabiting with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, sleeping together, living together, and the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart not to do this anymore. That what you're doing is not strengthening your love for one another. If anything, it's weakening it. It's violating God's best for you. Tonight, you need to renounce the sin of fornication, of immorality, and allow the blood of Jesus Christ to wash your heart clean, to sanctify that relationship. Perhaps it started out blessed, but temptation came in, and now you need the blood to cleanse it. If you want God to heal your family tonight, to heal the relationship with your children, or to heal your relationship with your parents, if you need the Lord to heal your marriage or give you the grace to live a holy life before marriage, I want you to lift your hands right now all over this place. That's right. Just lift up your hands. Just open your mouth. Just begin to speak in tongues all over this room. That's right. Everybody just lift up holy hands and just pray to God right now. Shuduria la karabaha daria la karabaha daria la karabaha daria. Shuduria la karabaha daria la karabaha daria. That's right, just reach out to the Lord right now. Shuduria la karabaha daria la karabaha daria la karabaha daria. Shuduria la karabaha daria la karabaha daria la karabaha. If you want stronger covenant love, if you want more grace and more mercy and more forgiveness to be released at home, if you want God to just let there be more empowerment, mutual encouragement, you want greater intimacy, that's right, just begin to pray and reach out to Jesus. He's here tonight. He's here right now. You're standing under open heaven. He's here to heal. He's here to mend. He's here to strengthen. He's here to bless. Hallelujah.
Jesus paid the high.
So many of you put up your hands tonight, whether you're on site, you're online. Why don't we just say this prayer together? Because we all need our family life to be stronger. We are not satisfied. I'm not satisfied. I want there to be greater grace at home. I want in my family, I want the power of God to be released even more. I want to be a greater encourager to people around me. I want an even deeper intimacy. with one another. So we all say this prayer together, all right? Everybody in this place, those of you on site, online, I want you to say it. Jesus paid the highest price and He's here for you. He's here to release that grace and the forgiveness and the strength that you need. So let's all say this. Say,
Dear Heavenly Father,
You are the God of families.
You are the God of families.
Strengthen my family life.
Strengthen my family life.
Bring the children back to the parents.
Bring the children back to the parents.
Turn the heart of the parents to the children.
Turn the heart of the parents to the children.
Rekindle the love in the marriage.
Rekindle the love in the marriage.
Help me.
Help me.
Help every single one of us.
Help every single one of us.
To live a holy life.
To live a holy life.
In the marriage.
In the marriage.
Outside the marriage.
Outside the marriage.
Now, if you can, if you feel comfortable about it, just hold your neighbor's hands right now. Let's just pray for one another. Let's just pray that God will just use. If you don't feel comfortable, you don't have to hold your neighbor's hand. Let's just pray in tongues for one another right now. Lord, strengthen the family. Strengthen the family. Pour the covenant love. Pour that grace. Bring restoration at home. Bring restoration to children, between children and parents, between fathers and mothers and their kids. Father, we pray, strengthen every marriage. We pray, oh God, let there be holiness. We pray for all the singles here. Every single person will walk in holiness and purity. Father, give us a strength to sanctify our body and our mind and our lives. Surrender our marriage. We surrender every love relationship we have, every friendship. Lord, we put our families on the altar tonight. We pray You come and bless it. You come and cleanse it. You come and restore it. Father, let the family be a reflection of the triune God in Your love, in Your communion, in the grace of God, in the power, in the intimacy, in the commitment. I want you to just lift up your hearts to Him. I want you to say this one more time. Just cry out to the Lord. Say, Father God.
Father God.
I want to experience.
I want to experience.
That covenant love.
That covenant love.
In my family life.
In my family life.
Release more and more grace.
Release more and more grace.
Let there be more and more power.
Let there be more and more power.
To encourage one another.
To encourage one another.
To bring healing.
To bring healing.
To bring restoration.
To bring restoration.
Open us up.
Open us up.
So that there'll be more intimacy.
So that there'll be more intimacy.
In my home.
In my home.
In my relationships.
In my relationships.
In my family.
In my family.
Let me glorify You.
Let me glorify You.
Will you lift up your hearts and begin to talk to Him and ask Him to glorify You? be glorified in your family, be glorified at home, be glorified in the marriage. Shigara bahode, alakera bahode. Shirala la kora bahade. Suri alakera bahade, alakara bahade. Shigara bahode, alakara bahade, alakara bahade. Suri alakera bahade, alakara bahade, alakara bahade, alakara bahade, alakara bahade.
The highest price, the Lamb of God was crucified. Oh, and He deserves my love. He deserves my life. For Jesus paid the highest price.
If you believe God heard your prayers, let's give the Lord a big clap. Hallelujah. Come on, give Him praise. Give Him praise tonight. That's right, clap your hands, all you people. Come on, let's shout to God with the voice of triumph. Lord, be glorified in our home. Be glorified in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just pray for the City Families Conference that we're going to have next week from Thursday to Friday, from Saturday to Sunday. Father, we pray all week already begin to send the Holy Spirit and work in all our lives, work in all our homes. Lord, this week will be a week of miracles, that many marriages will be restored. Many broken relationships between parents and children will be mended. We pray even right now, from today, you send your Holy Spirit to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. We pray you turn the hearts of the mothers to the kids and the kids to the moms. Father, we pray you send an anointing that will break every yoke. And we come against every demonic powers that try to destroy the home. We come against every demonic powers that try to destroy the marriage. Lord, we come against every evil force that try to come against the will of the Lord. We pray your kingdom come, your will be done in our home, in our marriage, as it is in heaven. Just hold your neighbor's hands if you can. If you can. One more time, we pray for the conference for next week. Shuduri ala karabahara. Shuduri ala karabahadari ala karabahadari ala karabahara. Shuduri ala karabahadari ala karabahadia. Lord, we pray you bless the conference. We pray you bless every single workshop speaker. We pray for every session to be so anointed. We pray for everyone to be so blessed. We pray for a great anointing that will be released next week. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you like never before. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray. And in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say, amen. If you believe that, give the Lord a big hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's sing it one more time. Just lift up holy hands to Him.
The Lamb of God was crucified. Oh, and He deserves my love. He deserves my life. For Jesus paid the highest price.
Just give the Lord a big clap one more time. Hallelujah. 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 That's right, give Him praise, give Him praise. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. And all of God's people say, amen, amen. Are you glad you came to church? Right? Next week, let's believe God. From today, some wonderful miracles is happening. If your marriage is already strong, it's going to get stronger. If your family is already blessed, more blessings is going to come. And if things are not right, from right now, miracles are already in motion. This week, everything is going to turn around. God is going to bring mighty, mighty healing and restoration at home. Oh, go ahead and give the Lord a big hand. Amen. Woo! Somebody shout, woo! Amen. Before you go, I want you to turn to your neighbors on your left and right. I want you to give them a big hug and say, your family life is going to be so blessed this week. Amen. God bless you. You have a great week. Your family life is going to be so blessed this week. Amen.
Are you blessed by this week's podcast? Tell us at connect@chc.org.sg.